The Process, a podcast about creativity and experimental music. In the world of experimental music, outcomes and accolades for creators can be uncertain and at times seem far and few between. Therefore, creators and practitioners of experimental music must embrace the one thing they will always have complete control over, the process. This podcast aims to understand this creative process by listening to new works and discussing them with their creators. Each episode focuses on one creator and their music. Understanding how and why they create can inform aspiring creatives and help audiences better understand and navigate experimental music. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and I'll be your host as we explore the world of experimental music, creativity, and the human need to find purpose in their world and lives. This is The Process. Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of The Process. On today's show, we have Ana Lopez Reyes, composer, performer, artist, musician, writing the piece we're going to hear today was performed at Roulette Intermedium with the string quartet, The Rhythm Method. Ana is performing on interface and with her computer alongside of the quartet, as well as there's like a really strong video component. So it's a really great video. We'll watch some excerpts from that performance, but I will put links in the show on various platforms so that you can watch the whole video. It's about a 40-minute piece. Really interesting, a lot of storytelling. It kind of focuses on, or the main focus is an interview with her grandfather, who weaves these really interesting kind of ghost stories. And so there's this whole realm of like El Día de Muerto, or the Day of the Dead, and this idea of like grieving and loss. And it's interesting because Ana talks about how, you know, the inspiration for this piece and for a lot of times in general is from stories or from ideas. Sure enough, the piece opens with a really fantastic story from her grandfather about revenge, which is a classic tale. Pretty much every culture has their sort of revenge stories. A couple other things we talk about is some specific ideas, like when creating an electroacoustic piece like this. So when you have a live string quartet and then electronics or the computer, how are all those things going to interact? And it's funny, I've been talking to a lot of people on the show recently who are entering or having that conversation about like, how do you make it this sort of seamless thing? And I think Ana has a really cool approach that she uses, kind of using software as well as just, you know, her talent for composition to kind of create a piece that doesn't sound like a live thing and a not live thing. But one whole entire piece. And it'll be interesting to hear her sort of take on how she envisions electroacoustic pieces. We also talk a little bit about artist names. Nux is Anna's artist name. And we just have a little conversation about that, about how, you know, composers in 2024, capital C composers in 2024, sometimes use stage names. Sometimes they use their own name. And I think Ana has sort of an interesting take on why she chooses to use both, both her name and also a stage name or performer name. So without further ado, let's check out a little bit of the performance from Intermedium at Roulette in New York City, featuring the Rhythm Method string quartet and Ana on computer and electronics.
No, de Toño tenía, creo que su hija, bueno, su hijo adoptivo. Y un día, pues, un vecino, un fulano,
Pues imagínate cómo estaba. Me pidió la pistola porque lo iba a matar y quién sabe qué. Furioso. Y entonces desapareció ese, bueno, el odio no, pero sí entonces el deseo de matarlo, porque que llegó un amigo de él y le dije, oye, Toño, ¿y cómo estamos? ¿Y tu hijo dónde está? Me lo encontré allá en México. ¿Cómo te lo encontré? Sí, me lo encontré allá. Fíjate que me platicó que te usaba, que estaba bien, que si te veía, pues me dijera que estaba bien. Así que,
I think it can come from different places. Lately, it's like a lot about storytelling, which is something that I think it's like a very important part of what I like, who I am, how I grew up. And I think I'm like always imagining a whole story, a whole concept, a whole. Yeah, like it's a story that I want to tell. And I think then that from the past few years, it's been like that I'm like imagining a story, like which usually has like some like fantasy in it, or like there's like some theme that I want to explore, and I'm just like thinking of ways to explore it or like to tell the story. So
And is that necessarily a musical idea, or is it
no,
just
it's
like it
never
could
a
be a
musical idea. It's
right, yeah.
never. It's like
Yeah.
usually it usually has to do with other things,
Right.
and then I'm like kind of imagining like how to tell that story with music.
With music, yeah.
And with music, with visuals, with text. So it's lately been like that, but I don't know if lately. I think it's just like been like that.
Right. Yeah.
So it usually I'm like usually just like thinking about that story for years, you know, like for a year, for like a few months.
Right.
And then I like start like bringing together the ideas, and then I write the music or like do the project. But yeah, like it's usually something that like sort of inhabits my mind, and I'm like, you know, like doing the dishes and like thinking about that story, thinking about what I want to say. That's one thing. But some like the other part of the process, which I like to explore, which I haven't done enough of lately, but I enjoy, is just like exploring sound and sitting with my synth and just messing with it without any storytelling or any like concept, or just like
Or like
having fun with.
a looming deadline where it's like, okay, I've got to come up with like 10
Yeah,
minutes of music or
no,
something like that. Yeah.
I also like sitting down and just like playing. That's also part of it when I have the chance, and that's something that I enjoy. The other part of it is just reading and listening, which I consider like an important part of the process. I like consume a lot of different media, like you know, like I go to shows, I listen to music, I read, so that's like all like this information that's coming and like that feeds my idea. So I think like the process is just like a continuous
It's all music.
thing.
It's all
It's
encompassing. Yeah. The thing about going to shows is I love to go to shows, but I have to fight myself from being like, okay, so what are they doing? How are they executing this? Okay, like what knob are they turning? What are they, you know what I mean? Like I have to be like, Doug, you're at a musical event. Enjoy it. Interact with it in an emotional way. And Some of my favorite concerts, I'll go to or performances, and I'll just be like, I don't even think about like, well, how did they manipulate the video in this part or whatever like that. I was just like, wow, that was amazing. Like I had this emotional response. So.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I tend to really enjoy the m music or like the art in general that will like give me both, like give you like that emotional experience, but also blow your mind in like in a technical way.
Yeah, they're like, how are they doing that? And you're like, I don't care. This is amazing. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, that's like the balance that I'm like, yeah, like that I like that a lot.
Where would you go? Where you mentioned your synth. Is that like the first place? Is that the first tool you go to start working on how to translate a sort of story idea into a musical idea?
It used to be, but not anymore lately.
So where do you go now?
Like images, I think. I think it's different depending on the project. Like right now, like the one that I sent you, Ausencias, I went to like storytelling itself. Like I interviewed my grandfather for that and about like stories in his town. And I have that, but also like lately I'm writing this piece that has to do with star formation, and like I'm just like looking at images of that and like how like the places where stars are formed, like this nebulae. So I'm just like drawing. It's like all like very it comes from different places. I'm like drawing like what I imagine, like what I feel. It's like it's like from different places sometimes. Yeah, like if or but if I'm like just playing with sound, it usually is a sound sample that I'm like messing with, but that inhabits this world somehow.
All right, so it's time to roll up your sleeves and you have a week to bring this piece to life. Where do you go? Is that like, and I appreciate the like the process and the rumination and the drawings and all that, but if it's like, okay, Anna, we need 10 minutes of music by the end of the week,
Yeah, that's
where
like
do you
that's
go? Where do you go? Do you go to the computer?
Ableton.
Ableton.
Yeah,
Great,
the
great.
computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the computer.
Yeah. So it's mostly just Ableton and like start like with like some sort of processing of a sound sample. And yeah, like that's usually what happens. Like I spend like months thinking
Great.
and just like inhabiting this world and writing, drawing, just like looking at stuff, listening to music, thinking about it. And then I usually end up just like doing like being like shit, like the deadline.
It's coming. You're like, oh,
And
that's next
then
week. Like, oh,
in
yeah.
a month, I will like fit together the pieces. Like that event itself, like that's the Rhythm Method. It's this quartet in New York, and we perform that piece at Roulette in New York.
And it's interesting too, you said you performed, you performed with them or we performed together. What exactly, what was your part of the performance?
I was doing the electronics. I was triggering samples, like manipulating some of the sound live. There's one section that where they have a score, like the score is like they have text only, and they're like improvising, but I was like getting their signal, and like processing that live and like doing like live electronics with them as they were improvising, which is something that I like to do. So I was doing different things.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. I couldn't tell if it was your electronic sounds coming from the computer or whatever the interface, and then plus string quartet. I couldn't tell how much interaction there were between the two. Like, I didn't know if you were live processing, the string parts, but
Not always. I mean, sometimes, like at some moments of the piece, I'm just triggering samples that are like part of the soundscape. But at some other moments, yes, I was processing the ensemble. So the way I thought about like this whole piece is like as a whole, like the whole thing is like the electronics are kind of like the world of the spirits. So you
I
like you're
see.
I like I have like samples of like people who are not here like physically, and then like the acoustic part is like the living, like
The
the world of
corporeal,
the
the
yeah. So like the ones who stay, the ones who are like stay who are like present physically, and who are dealing with these losses. And so you have like the quartet as a representation of that, and like the electronics as a representation of that world that doesn't exist like physically anymore. So the electronic part of that second movement is all built with these voices of these women who are not here anymore. And so you hear them like here and there, and like you hear them speak, you hear them sing, and it's like oh, like this soundscape that's like around you. Like I do like this movement with my hands because it's like I like imagining it as like this floating thing.
And
So that's
while those are floating and kind of especially there was like the vocal that kind of was like popping and skittering and sort of moving around, the strings are very sort of stationary and there's a lot of like long notes, there's a lot of harmonics.
I just like talked to some people and like went through some interviews, like just online, of yeah, people who have dealt with these things and how kind of like it feels like it's like they can't like move, you know? It's like paralyzing, and especially like in like the second movement, like the third movement, I like explore that idea of like just like this paralyzing thing that doesn't let you move, and like because the third movement, like there's this whole other issue in Mexico, which is people who go missing, like, and you just never hear about them anymore. So then the mothers of this. Of like there's like collectives of mothers who are looking for their
For their
missing children, and the government doesn't do anything, and then the mothers have like come together to like dig with their own hands to try to find
To find where
their
the
loved ones. It's horrible. And so I sampled a lot of like shovels and like earth, and just like there's like this like heaviness of like digging and digging and digging and not finding anything, and just like that feeling of heaviness of you know like you're like digging and nothing happens and you don't find anything and you can't let go of this pain. You like the sort of the idea of not finding closure. So it's like it's that, and like as this whole thing is like floating. So yeah, I mean I was thinking of that when I wrote all of that.
So here's one. Here's more of like a technical question then. So you've you had to create this piece. You had to you created this piece, and I guess my question would be, so did you start with writing the string part? Did you were you working in like Ableton and kind of coming up with some sounds? Were you working closely with the quartet kind of as you were creating it? How did this work? Was it like, did you write all, 30, 40 minutes of it and then say, here's your score? Was there like kind of a jam session where you guys were sort of playing together,
Yeah,
improvising together?
no, I didn't write this for for this quartet. I like that premiere, I hired them to perform the piece. So I didn't I wasn't working closely with the quartet. And I just wrote the piece and they played it. There used to be this thing that you could do that you can't do anymore, the rewire tool. I don't know if you've used it. So you could write a line in Sibelius and like with Node Performer, like that would like play, and then you could route that to Ableton and you would hear it in your sessions with the electronics.
So
And
you
that
could
was
just have,
amazing for me because I could like write my score. And sort of and I always like do like two scores, like one that's gonna like serve as a mock-up of how it's gonna sound, and then like the other one where like you know
Where it's
like you
like
could edit.
performance directions type.
Exactly. I mean sometimes like for example for harmonics, like I like I'm not gonna like you know like I'm like writing the real sound on the mock-up score, and then like I write it like the proper way. But so then you could like when I wrote that piece, you could still do that and like between Ableton and Sibelius,
I see.
that you could like connect them and you could hear whatever you had in your score, you could hear it on Ableton. So I was like building the soundscape as I was writing the
I
score.
see.
So it was
So you could
all
kind of
together.
improvise with what you wrote or like kind of play around with it, or you could be
Exactly.
like listening and saying, okay, what if I did this effect at this point?
So
And
that way it just becomes like it's just one thing. It's not that I'm like writing a piece
The
for string
piece.
quartet and then adding the electronics or something. It's just like as I write, I do it all together as
Together.
one thing. Like I'm like, you know, like thinking of my grandfather's voice as a as an instrument and then the violin as another instrument. And then like, you know, like this like other sample as
The
another
worldly,
instrument.
the
And
voice, or
so it's like all like you know like instead of a string quartet really it's like a whole orchestra of like samples and some strings you know
And see, that's how it really comes across. Like when I'm listening to it, it comes together as one thing, one sound world.
yeah which is funny because if you were to play the string quartet alone it doesn't work
Is that always the case then? So like if you can't play one part in solo, then is that like a good thing or a bad thing? I think
I
it's
think
just
for me it is because like I'm not thinking about this as a string quartet.
Plus electronics, like
But
string quartet
no,
plus
it's
electronics.
just like one thing. And I think like that's the way I would conceive it in general. Yeah, but I really like need to hear it like all together. Which I think like in the piece that I'm working on right now, I'm gonna change it a little bit and I'm gonna just like try to imagine it a bit more, like just in my mind, because it's like a way bigger ensemble and they're gonna be improvising more. So I think I need to just like let it go a little bit and imagine. Before being a composer, I was just like a well, I've had like many different phases, but I was like definitely into like the more like pop music or literally like electronic music, or you know, like really influenced by people like Bjork, who like that's her real name, but people or like Arca, like do you know Arca?
No, I don't.
Arca is she's a producer from Venezuela who works with Bjork, and her real name is Alejandra Gerci, but she goes by Arca, and like she's like all her projects are Arca, and I think like that's very very common in that world,
World,
and like I think like it's like more much more common to have an artist name in that world than using your real name. And then like in the classical, more like classical academic music world is it's not that common. But since you know it's like it's the same thing. Like I think like for me what I've been doing or what I'm trying to do is it's just that my music is my music in any of those worlds. Like if I'm like you know, like putting out my album with my songs, it sort of inhabits the same world as the string quartet. So think about it, like it's just like all gonna be the same, like part of the same thing. So it makes sense for me to just use my artist name for that.
And somebody like, Bjork has always kind of pushed the envelope between like, is this pop music? Is this what is this? Is this, or is this, in the classical, contemporary, new music genre? That
Which
kind of,
is yeah, which is what I like, and I that's like my main thing. That's how I think about it, you know, like
Well, Anna, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me about your music and the
definitely, yeah.
piece, Ausencias. We can check out this video on YouTube in its entire length from the performance at Roulette. Before I let you go, can you just tell us a little bit about where we can go to find out more about you and your music, and maybe tell us about some of the upcoming things you have going on?
Well, I have my Instagram, which is underscore NNUX, and then I have a website, which NNUXmusic.com. And yeah, I think that that's where you can find my information. And I have an album on Spotify too. That and some videos that I on my YouTube channel, I have videos which belong more to the pop music, like you know, like experimental pop electronic, with like visual artists that I work with. And yeah, it's like NNUX. I mean, I think if you Google it like that, it will come up. And for projects, like upcoming projects, I'm working on an album that I've been working on for a long time. But I think like it's close. I'm mixing it, and I really hope I can like just put it out soon. And that's like another story, and but it's like with my voice a lot. I've recorded my voice like a whole choir and like a lot of like experimentation with the voice, like sort of like really inspired by Meredith Monk, but with electronics and with many different things. And I'm excited to put that out. I'm writing a piece for Alarm Will Sound, that's gonna get premiered next year, that has to do with star formation and like the ideas between science and myth. That's something else. I have an exhibition in Mexico City, which it's gonna be a museum exhibition where I'm doing like a sound installation. That's with my collective. It's a performance art collective. And then I have a performance art show in LA in December. So I think that's all that's coming up.
Thanks to Ana Lopez Reyes for sharing her time and music with us. As always, if you like this episode, please check out other episodes in the series, like, subscribe, or leave a comment on your preferred podcasting app. I'm Dr. Doug Bielmeyer, and this has been The Process.